ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all literatures. We're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. So, what have we got on the board? We're reading from text 23.
Ittam so gokulam ananya gatim niriksha. Ittam so gokulam ananya gatim niriksha. Sastri kumaram ati dukitam atmaheto. Sastri kumara mati dukitam atma hetoho. Agyaya marcha padavim anuvartamanaha. Agyaya marcha padavim anuvartamanaha. Stitva muhuttam utai dashtad uranga bandat. Stitva muhuttam udadishtad uranga bandat. Itam, in this fashion. So Gokulam, his own community of Gokul. Ananyagatim, having no other goal or shelter than him. Niriksha, observing. Sastri, including the women. Kumaram, and children. Atidukitam, extremely distressed. Atmahetoho, on his account. Agyaya, understanding. Marchipadavim, the way of mortals. Anuvartamanaha, imitating. Stitva, remaining. Muhurtam, for some time. Udatishtat, he rose up. Uranga, of the serpent. Bandat, from the bonds. Translation, the Lord remained for some time within the coils of the serpent, imitating the behavior of an ordinary mortal. But when he understood that the women, children, and other residents of his village of Gokul were in acute distress because of their love for him, their only shelter and goal in life, he immediately rose up from the bonds of the Kaliya serpent. Gora-gra-ganya-gana-gocha-golor-uharam Goranga-gudatama-gopyata-kolpa-briksham Gopala-gada-rati-dam-yati-singha-gora-govinda-deshi-kavaram Satatam-namami. So we have a number of verses in front of us today. Thank you, Marcia. We have a number of verses in front of us today. And with the blessings of the devotees, I'd like to read them one at a time and make a few comments and things on them as we go along.
this pastime of Kaliya Damana Leela is a very, very deep, very wonderful pastime, as is indirectly indicated here in this verse, where it describes that Niriksha, observing him, was Sastri Kumaram. The ladies were there, the children were there. There are two pastimes in Braj in which all the Brijbasis take part. One is Kaliya Damana Leela. And our acharyas have described that this pastime takes place before the Ras Leela, before Krishna is met with the gopis. And there's some feeling which Rupa Goswami describes as Purva Rag. Some feelings of separation, they haven't met, but they've heard about each other. And the feelings of, so this is the first time that the gopis have gotten a chance to just sit and look at Krishna to their heart's delight. But it's a mixed feeling of happiness and something very, very terrible, because Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya. So everyone is present at this time. The gopis are there, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda are there, all the elderly gopis and gopas are there, the cowherd boys are there, the cows of Vrindavan are there. Everyone is present at this time. So there's many, many things we can say about this pastime, and we have little time. I'm trying to be careful. This pastime is described in Harivamsa Purana, in Vishnu Purana, in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, also by our acharyas Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, Kavi Karnapur, and Ananda Vrindavan Champu. It's described in many places. And one common thing that you find in all the different descriptions is it begins generally with the words, or paraphrasing the words, Vina Ramena, without Balaram. That morning, Krishna went to herd the cows without Balaram. And our acharyas give some significance to that. And I'd like to suggest that, especially in the verses we're going to be reading today, there's a deep purport to that Vina Ramena, which is answered in these verses. And we'd like to discuss a little bit about that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, and Sartha Darshini and Brihad Vaishnav Toshini commentaries, they explain that Mother Yashoda, she called for Krishna. And she said, Krishna, I know you're very chanchala, you're very restless, and you want to go here and there. And if I tell you don't go somewhere, then probably you'll do it anyway. So you can go wherever you like, but I just want you to promise me one place you won't go. Kaliya Damana, Kaliya Hrada. Don't go to the place of Kaliya. And Krishna kind of shook his head. And later, he spoke with Balaram, who's Dalji. He's a big brother. He has a very important position. And Balaram told him, look, I understand. You may go there, but don't go in the water. And Krishna kind of smiled and sort of nodded his head also. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that that day, Balaram didn't go because it was his birthday. There's many, few pastimes like that where Balaram doesn't come and they say it's because it was his birthday. But as we may hear from Brahma Vaivarta Purana and Garga Sanhita, there may be some other reason for that also. Let's see if we have time for that today. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book called Krishna Sanhita, which probably a lot of you are aware of. And in Krishna Sanhita, he presented Krishna Leela in a very extraordinary way, which prior to Bhaktivinoda had not been done before. He presented that the naimittic leelas, or the occasional pastimes which go on in this material world, represent different obstacles for the sadhak devotee on his way back to Vrindavan, back to home. And Kaliya represents, as described by Kavi Karnapur in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, he says that Hridrogam Yomunaya, he was a heart disease in the Jamuna. And that's a very interesting point, because the Jamuna is the life of Vrindavan. Water is the life of everyone. And the Jamuna is the life of the community of Vrindavan. And Kaliya was staying there. So Bhaktivinoda says many things about Kali. I'm not going to go so much in that direction, but just from a strictly linguistic point of view, it's interesting what he says. What does the word Kaliya mean? Kaliya iti Kala iya. It's broken up into two words, Kala and iya. Kala, according to the Sanskrit dictionary, has a number of meanings. It means night. It means a time of darkness. It means iron, like the age of iron. Kala also means a black, poisonous snake. And Kala also is a word for censure or criticism, defamation, to criticize someone else. So Kaliya represents a poison, Hridrogam Yamunaya, a poison in the heart of the Jamuna which threatens to destroy all of Braj. And it's interesting that our acharyas repeatedly refer to Kaliya as an example of someone who really got the mercy of Krishna. I had a hard time digesting that, to tell you the truth, when I first started really going deeper into this pastime, because the problem I had was, how is it that he's gotten Krishna's mercy and Krishna tells him, look, Chalo, go away, leave Braj. But repeatedly, the Bhagavatam and our acharyas refer to him as a recipient of Krishna's mercy. That's, of course, Krishna put his feet on his head. That's good. I wouldn't mind that. But Krishna drove him out of Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments in one place, he says that Kaliya, although he got the mercy of Krishna, he had to leave Vrindavan because Kaliya didn't take shelter of any of the bridge bossies. Because if we want to enter Vrindavan, we have to take shelter of a person. And the problem with Kaliya is, Kali is poisoning all of Vrindavan. To put it in another way, censor, criticism will destroy our Vrindavan community. It'll poison it, and everyone will die. So, here in this verse, I'm reminded of some description given by Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where he also describes this pastime. And let's mention a little before that. In Brihad Vaishnava Toshini of Sanatana Goswami, he says that all the residents of Vrindavan went running to Kaliya Radha. And that's an interesting description too. I didn't finish what the meaning of Kaliya is. Kala means black and all these bad things. Iya, like we have the word Gaudiya. Gaudiya means someone who belongs to Gaudiya Desh. The suffix Iya in Sanskrit indicates possession of something. So Kaliya means someone who possesses all these nasty qualities. And Radha. Radha refers to a deep lake or place, but Radha comes from the same bija dhatu in Sanskrit that Hrida comes from. It's like the heart. And that place is the heart of the Jamuna. It's the heart of Vrindavan. And it's also the heart of the devotees. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. For the devotees, association with other devotees is absolutely essential. That's how we develop bhakti. But if we poison that well, if we poison that lake with criticism, then hoya sarvanas, everything will become destroyed. So, Brihad Vaishnav Toshini Sanatana Goswami says that all the Brijbasis had come there. And at first, when Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and the elderly gopis and gopis arrived there, they were completely shocked. How is it that Krishna's in the water? And they saw the boys were there, and they wanted to ask the boys a question. Hey, how did Krishna go in the water? How did you allow that? Jiva Goswami describes this in Gopal Champu also. And then they noticed the boys weren't replying. And then they noticed the boys were all laying on the ground, unconscious. And then Mother Yashoda, Nanda, and others, they became stunned for a moment. And then they all decided, we're also going to enter into the water. Either just to kill ourselves, because we can't live without Krishna. Or to try to save Krishna, to rescue Krishna. And something stopped them. This verse is describing something about this. Why Krishna came out of the coils of Kaliya. Sanatana Goswami, I think, I don't know if we'll go in this direction, but Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Vaishnav Toshini says some very unusual things about this pastime. He says that when Kaliya wrapped his coils around Krishna, he was embracing him with love. And he says that when Kaliya bit him on the chest, he was kissing him. No, none of our other acharyas have come. I remember reading a translation of this from Gopi Puranadhana Prabhu, and he had a little footnote. He said, none of our other acharyas said like this. It's a little confusing. But if you look, as we may do in a few minutes, in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, some answer comes from that. Anyway, so they all wanted to jump into the Jamuna, and it was Balaram who stopped them. Dina Ramena. Balaram stayed back. And it's a little lengthy to discuss, but when they first got news of Krishna's position in the Jamuna and the coils of Kaliya, Balaram, everyone went running to Krishna. And Balaram stayed back with Rohini and told Rohini, you stay here and you cook. Krishna's coming soon. Don't worry. He's going to be hungry because he's getting a little exercise. And Balaram was thinking to himself, Krishna, and my form is Ananta Sesh. Krishna never plays with me. But now he's playing with this insignificant worm, Kaliya. How is this? Indeed, how is it? And how is it that according to Harivamsa Purana, Kaliya had been living for many yugas in the Jamuna? For so many devotees, it's a big thing to try to come to Vrindavan. We're very, very fortunate. I know devotees who've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 40 or 50 years and they've never been to Vrindavan, and they would love to come. It's not such an easy thing. And what to speak of staying in Vrindavan, for those of you who are residents here, you know, it's nice when you come for a visit, it's kind of real pleasant. But if you want to stay for some time, you'll be severely tested. It's not such an easy thing to stay in Vrindavan. And Kali had been here for yugas. How is that? Interesting point. So Balaram held them back. And Balaram, first he told Rohini, you stay back. Then Balaram caught up with the Brijbasis, and he's seeing that they were getting ready to enter into the Jamuna. Balaram, Sanatana Goswami says that with his glance, some of them he just glanced at them. And by his glance, he was telling them, don't do it. And some of them with his words, Balaram said, hey, don't. Stop. Don't go in the Jamuna. And some of them physically. And Sanatana Goswami says it wasn't easy to hold Nanda Maharaj back. So at that time, Balaram, he began to call out to Krishna. Sanatana Goswami describes the beautiful words of Balaram. Eti na vaikunta nibasi parshada Navanarastena chayadava api Goloka loka bhavad eka jivana nasyanchakshaya Bhagavan mayaitvam. Balaram told him, hey Krishna, etina vaikunta nibasi parshada. These are not your associates in Vaikunta. Navanaraste, these are not the monkeys in Treta Yuga when you came as Ramachandra. Nacha Yadavapi, these are not the members of the Yadu dynasty in Dwarka. These are the Brijbasis. And they can't live without you. They have no other life for you. And there's nothing that I can do to stop them. They're all going to die in separation from you. And there's nothing that I can do to stop them. Pranayva yukta na bhavanti yavat Tavadvinodham karuna twajaitam Krishnanyata goshta janaika bando ganthasi sokam midula subhavaha. He says, hey, Karuna Sindhu Krishna, hey, soft-hearted Krishna, please give up this game before your devotees die. Otherwise, my middala swabhava, Krishna, you have this swabhava, this nature, middala, you're very, very gentle. And gantasi shokam, you're going to experience intense pain. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in one purport, he says that Krishna is the Paramatma in the heart of the devotees. But he says, who is the Paramatma in the heart of the Paramatma? It's the devotee. The devotees are in the hearts of Krishna, and Krishna's in the hearts of the devotees. So Balaram told Krishna, hey, you have to stop this. So Krishna, he was having a good time in the coils of Kaliya. But when he saw the pain that the Brijbasis were going through, and one of the points I would like to stress in this regard is that Vina Ramena without Balaram is significant because Balaram is Adi Guru. And as Adi Guru, he holds them back, the Brijbasis. And what is he holding them back from? We'll discuss that in another verse or two. Balaram is holding them back. And it's Balaram, who is Adi Guru, who appeals to Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's an interesting verse describing what is the meaning of our Nam Bhajan. Sometimes devotees say, well, I'm very advanced. I'm chanting 64 rounds a day. I'm doing bhajan for Krishna. But Tate Krishna Bhaji Kore Gururu Sevan. Krishna Das Kabraj Goswami says, no, you haven't understood. Your Nam Bhajan is your Guru Seva. And your Guru Seva is your Nam Bhajan. We can't separate. We can't approach Krishna without Guru. We can't take shelter of Nam. We can't take shelter of Bhagavatam without Guru being it, because Nam is Krishna. Bhagavatam is Krishna. So we need Guru. So Adi Guru Balaram, he appeals to Krishna. And he says, Krishna, you have to stop this. When he sees the hearts churning of the Brijbasis, that they can't live anymore, they're suffering so much pain, seeing Krishna's condition, they're going to die, then Balaram speaks up. And Krishna listens. And at that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Krishna smiled. And Krishna turned to Kaliya, and he said, you showed me your strength. Now I'll show you a little of mine. And Krishna began to expand himself just a little bit. And Kaliya, the coils broke open. Krishna jumped out, as we hear in the next verse. Let's go on to the next verse now. I'll just read these by myself because our time's getting short. Text 24. Tat pratyamana vapusas vyatatma bogas. Excuse me. Tat pratyamana vapusa vyatitatma bogas. Tatvanu maya kupita swafanan bujangaha tashto swasan trasanat randra visambarisha stabdikshano mukho harim ikshamanaha. His coils tormented by the expanding body of the Lord, Kaliya released him. In great anger, the serpent then raised his hoods high and stood still, breathing heavily. His nostrils appeared like vessels for cooking poison, and the staring eyes in his face looked like firebrands. Thus the serpent looked at the Lord. Tam jivayad visikaya parilelihanam de srikvani yadatikarala vishagnidristim kridan amum parisasara yatakagendro badramosopya vasaram.
Again and again, Kaliya licked his lips with his bifurcated tongues as he stared at Krishna with a glance full of terrible, poisonous fire. But Krishna playfully circled around him, just as Garuda would play with a snake. In response, Kaliya also moved about, looking for an opportunity to bite the Lord. Here's our BBT purport. Lord Krishna moved around the serpent so skillfully that Kaliya could find no opportunity to bite him. Thus the snake was defeated by Sri Krishna's transcendental agility. I think we'll stop our reading there, and then the Bhagavatam, the devotees can continue with text 26 tomorrow, which has a longer purport, if that's okay. Or should I go ahead and read this Dharmatma? In any case, this is a very interesting point. Can we have just a moment of honesty here, especially amongst the men? How many men here, honestly speaking, sometimes like to watch like boxing matches or wrestling or fighting things? Raise your hand sometimes. Okay. All right, there's some honesty here. All right. It's okay. You're Hare Krishna devotees. I know. Pure devotees. But we like sometimes. That's the nature of men. So I have a question. How is it that Kaliya is so terrible? He was able to fight with Garuda, and Garuda didn't defeat him. That's a little bit of a different topic, but Kali is so powerful. The demigods were afraid of him. And Krishna comes, and Krishna just starts going the other direction, and Kaliya loses strength. Can you imagine watching some fight, some boxing match or something, and one of the boxers goes the other direction, and the commentator says, see, the other guy's lost his strength because the other person's gone the other direction. Does it really make sense? I would suggest that it has a deeper purport. And if we look to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of the meaning of Kaliya Damana Leela, that Kaliya represents this censure, this poison. And Kaliya is poisoning the Jamuna and the residents of Vrindavan, just like the devotees in a devotee community. When we see Krishna being criticized and we see a devotee being criticized, we can't tolerate. And we want to jump in there and fight, isn't it? It's called Facebook. We want to jump in there and fight. We can't tolerate that thing. But Balaram is coming and saying, hey, diddy, diddy, don't do this. Don't enter into this water. And he tells Krishna, hey, Krishna, now see, they're crying. It's reached a certain point. In the life of the sadhak and our nam bhajan, when our bhajan reaches a certain point, which my Guru Maharaj used to call atmakrandana, or the crying of the soul, when we come to that point, then Gurudev, he speaks on our behalf. He sees, because tate krishna bhaji kori guru sevan. Honestly, it's not that when I'm chanting japa, Krishna's doing Rasalila with the gopis, and all of a sudden he stops, and Radharani says, what is it? And Krishna says, well, Madhavananda's chanting japa. It doesn't work like that. But my Gurudev is hearing that thing. And through my Gurudev, Krishna is hearing that. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadu, yasya prasadad nagatikatopi, tate krishna bhaji kori gururu sevan. We do our bhajan for the pleasure of Gurudev. And so when he sees that our feelings have reached an intense point, we feel so frustrated. The devotees in Mariupol in Ukraine, we were posting some things about them on Facebook, and somebody said, my God, what can we do? And I said, I don't know. Nobody can go in there. We don't know what's going to happen to them. They may die. When you're put in a situation like that, where you have no control, then you only have one recourse. You have to call out to Krishna. And Balaram, seeing the intensity of the feelings of the Brijbasis, at that time, he calls out to Krishna. Hey, Krishna, you have to stop this now. And then Krishna, seeing that, he breaks free of the coils of Kaliya. But why does Krishna go the other direction? I'd like to offer you a suggestion. That's about all that I can do in this Bhagavatam class today. But it's a suggestion which is based upon Shastra. We have a magazine, just by the way, Krishna Kathamrita and Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. And we printed an article some years ago. I think maybe it was in issue 44. I don't know. Anyway, we titled the article, Critics Take the Karma. And we presented a series of statements from Mahabharata and from Brahmavivarta Purana, Padma Purana, a number of different literatures speaking about how if someone criticizes you, that person takes some karma. So let's turn to the Udyoga Parva of the Mahabharata. This is spoken by Vidura to Dhritarashtra. And he's giving Dhritarashtra some good advice. And he says, Akroshi parivadadham vihimsantya buddha buddhan vakta papam upadatik shamamano vimuchate. That someone was a very ignorant person, he's a Buddha. Ignorant person. He decides that he wants to hurt some other person. Some people get pleasure hurting another person. It's a very dark mode. And they want to do that by criticizing them. Or they're just envious. How is it everybody says nice things about this fellow here? He's not good. I saw him. And you say some bad thing. I saw him eating prasadam in the bathroom. Some terrible thing like that. Just so that people won't give respect to him. So when an ignorant person decides that he's going to hurt some other person by criticizing them, the critic says, takes the sin or the fault that he sees in the other person, takes that sin or fault on himself, and the other person, kshamamano vimuchate, the person who's being criticized, is able to give up that bad karma or that aparad, that sin, that fault they have, by kshama, by forgiving that other person. In other words, by going the opposite direction. And this is what our acharyas have described. Again in Mahabharata, and a few chapters later, again Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra, akrushyamana nakroshan manyar eva titikshitaha akroshtaram nidahati sukritam chashavindati. To someone who's being criticized, don't criticize back. This is a bit of wisdom. Don't criticize back. Go the opposite direction, like Krishna's doing. Because the pain that you feel when you get criticized, that pain is going to destroy the critic. Akroshadam niradahati. And sukritam chashivindati. Whatever sukriti the critic has will come to you. It's a pretty good deal. If we can just tolerate and forgive that person. Or as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says in one purport in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, he says that when someone comes to the path of spiritual life, it's natural they'll be criticized. And he says if the devotee who's being criticized tries to argue back, then he'll fall down and lose his sukriti. Rather, he should be tolerant and accept it, tate nukampam susamikshamano, that I deserve this. Actually, I deserve a lot more. I deserve this from my previous bad activities. And they tolerate that. And as described here by Vidura to Dhritarashtra, if they forgive that critic, then your bad qualities, your bad karma goes to that person, and their good qualities come to you. It's a nice trade. So that person we should think is actually our friend. The Naradiya Purana describes papinam papagana nam yakaroti naradamaha astitve tulya papaste mityatve dvigunanripa. That it describes, it gives an interesting word for a fault finder. A fault finder is papagananam. Papa means a sin. Gananam means someone who's counting. He's got a little book and he goes around, hey, Dharma, I saw that today. Spoke to a girl for more than 5 minutes, okay? And we're marking this thing and that thing. He's a papa gananam. He's going around and marking all the faults of all the other different persons. Papinam, papa gananam, yakaroti naradama. That person is naradama. He's the worst of everybody. Astitve tulya papa. See, now, if what you, the fault you see in that person, if it's actually there, then you get to share it. Whatever bad reaction they would get, that brahmachari, for talking to a girl for more than 5 minutes, you also get the same reaction for finding that fault. But nityatve, if it's not true, if it's just in your imagination, then dvigunanripa, you get twice the result. So Kaliya is a poison that will destroy Vrindavan. Kaliya is a poison that will destroy our movement. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in a letter in 1972, he said, 1974, this kind of criticism and counter-criticism is not good. Those who are advanced devotees try to see only the good that other devotees are doing, just as bees are attracted to honey, while flies are attracted to sores. If we insist on going on the route of Kaliya, then we'll be driven out of Vrindavan sooner or later. You won't have a place in Vrindavan. You might have some external place. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Abhidham Mahatmya says, there's a Potamaya Shakti, a potency that covers the Dham. And you may be on top of the Dham, but you won't be inside of the Dham. And we could tell some stories, I'm sure some of you could also, about devotees who were living in the Dham, but they weren't in the Dham. So let's just look a little quickly, I know our time's short, back to some of the things I was teasing you with from Brahmavivarta Purana. According to Brahmavivarta Purana, Kaliya, he told this to Krishna personally when he began his prayers. He said, Samprapyatvan manum brahman anantadyadav eva hi tavat twad bhavanena eva twad vargoham anugrahat. He said, my dear Lord, when I fought with Garuda, there's a reason why I was able to fight with him for so long. The reason was because Kaliya was chanting Krishna mantra in his mind. What? According to Brahmavivarta Purana, Kaliya was a devotee before he came. And as this verse describes, he said, I got mantra from Anantasesh. Vina Ramena. Balaram didn't go. Balaram didn't go to Kurukshetra. Why? One reason, because his disciple, Dhritarashtra, was there. And Balaram knew what was going to happen. Duryodhan. Balaram knew that Duryodhan was going to be killed. And he's very attached. He has some affection. His Gurudev has affection. Guru has many disciples. And some of them are a little budmas. Budmas means rascal. Some of them a little... But Gurudev has affection for them. And Balaram doesn't want to see Duryodhan harmed. Balaram, he knows what's going to happen to Kaliya. Maybe he doesn't want to be there to see it. But Kaliya, he also describes to Krishna, I'm going to go over this a little quickly, that Kaliya was defeated by Garuda because Kaliya was bhaktam apakvam. Apakva. Apakva. Now, there's pakka and there's apakva. Pakka means something ripe. He's apakva. He's not a very ripe devotee. He's a nice guy. Sometimes I don't want to criticize anybody, but the monkeys of Vrindavan, they're devotees. But we don't always want to hang out with them. And I've met certain devotees who are a little like those monkeys also. They're a little angry, and if you say something, they may bite you. Stuff happens. So we give respects, as we say in Bengali, durteki dandavat. I offer my respects from a distance. But I give respect, genuinely. The monkeys are bijbasis. They're much more exalted than myself. And from my heart, we can respect them. But I don't want to associate with them very closely. So Kaliya was like that. And because he's initiated by Balaram, he's able to enter Vrindavan. He's able to stay in the Jamuna for so long. Now, what about Rohini? In the Garga Sanhita, we may find some clue in the second canto in chapter 13. Narad Muni, he explains about in Swayambhuva Manvantara, there was a rishi named Vedasira Muni, who was a descendant of Bhrigu Muni. And Vedasira Muni was doing austerities in the Vindhya Mountains. And one day, this other sadhu came. His name was Asvasira Muni. And he also wanted to do austerities there. And when Vedasira Muni saw him, just like sometimes, don't mind me saying, but like two brahmacharis in a small room or something, hey, it's my bed. You keep away from that. Asvasira Muni became angry with him. And, Vedasira Muni became angry. He said, this is my ashram. This is my place. You go somewhere else. And Asvasira Muni said, hey, this is a big place. What's the problem? And at that time, Vedasira Muni became angry and started chastising him. Asvasira said, look, this place belongs to Vishnu. It doesn't belong to you or to me. You have this binadrik, this attitude of separatism from the Lord, from the devotees. You're angry for no reason. He says, you hiss like you're a snake. So you should become a snake. And Vedasira became angry. And he said, I haven't hardly done anything and you're cursing me. So because of your curse, I curse you, you become a crow. And just at that time, they realized, like sometimes two brahmacharis having an argument in the ashram, will suddenly realize, what are we fighting over? It's really stupid. Just to fight who's going to use this bed or whatever, right? Then at that time, Lord Vishnu came there. And they were both feeling a little embarrassed, starting arguing over such a ridiculous thing. And Vishnu told them that, look, you're both my dear devotees, and I can change my own words, but I can't change the words of my devotees. He said, so you'll take birth as Kaliya, and you'll take birth as Kakabushundi. As Kakabushundi, you'll speak the Ramayana, and you'll be very devoted to Lord Ramachandra. And as Kaliya, I'll personally come, and I'll deliver you. So the Brahmavivarta Purana goes on to discuss, it's a big discussion, that the previous life of Rohini, she was the wife of not Lord Kapila Dev, who's the mother of all the snakes? Kadru. In her previous life, she was Kadru. And one of her sons was Kaliya. And so a mother never wants to see her son in trouble. Understanding that, perhaps, Vinaramena, Balaram stayed back and he told his mother, you don't go because you're not going to be happy if you see this thing. So many, many things we can say about this pastime. I remember presenting this in a seminar some years ago at the Govardhan retreat, and I couldn't figure out one thing. We couldn't find anything in Shastra. How is it that Kaliya got mercy from Krishna? How do we understand that? And the last day we were speaking, I was doing Govardhan Prakram a little bit, and I was praying, and all of a sudden an answer came to my mind. And I thought, that's good. And I presented the answer to the devotees. They were happy, but I wasn't fully satisfied because it wasn't a statement in Shastra or from our acharyas. So I thought later, let me confirm this with some higher Vaishnav. So I went to see Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, who's been studying Bhagavatam from like the age of 5 years old. And I didn't tell him what I thought. I just asked him the question. I said, Maharaj, how do we understand that Kaliya got so much mercy from Krishna? He's an example of someone who got mercy, but Krishna drives him out of Braj. And much to my delight, Maharaj gave the exact answer that I gave to the devotees. What he said was, in the same way that Srila Prabhupada brought devotees to Vrindavan, and then he told them, now chalo, go away, you go back, and you preach. And so Kaliya, Srila Prabhupada described, he went back to Ramanaka Dweep, right? Which Ramanaka Dweep, Prabhupada said, is Fiji. And he said that Kali is still there today. So, what happens? Some of you are here from some other country. Maybe you spent a lot of time saving money to come to Vrindavan. And when you go back to your country, what happens? What's the first thing that happens? Everybody asks you, hey, where have you been? Right? And you tell them, well, I was in Vrindavan, and we went on Parikrama, and there was this kirtan, and this thing, and this thing. That's the way the world works. So Kali has been gone for a long time, several yugas. He goes back to Ramanaka Dweep. All the snakes are going to ask, hey, yo, Kaliya, homeboy, right? Kaliya, where have you been? And what's Kaliya going to say? There's a place called Vrindavan, and there's a wonderful boy. He's going to start speaking Krishna Katha, isn't it? 100%. And interestingly, who goes to Ramanaka Dweep every day? It's kind of like their fast food program. Is Garuda. He goes there every day for his lunch. He has a snake. He's a non-vegetarian Vaishnava. It's another discussion. But anyway, it's authorized by Krishna. And he goes there every day, and he terrorizes those poor snakes. Now, what's going to happen? A simple, obvious thing. He's going to go when he's going to see there's a big ghost here. Everybody's gathered together. What's going on? And he's going to see Kali is speaking Krishna Katha. And what's Garuda going to do? He likes Krishna Katha. He's going to sit down and listen. Isn't it? So, if we go the other direction, if we speak Krishna Katha, if we have affection for devotees, if we look and we see something good in them, if we tolerate their problems, just like a parent tolerates a child, or just like we tolerate our parents or our grandparents when they get old and they're a little senile and they say sometimes some stupid things. Sometimes a child tells a mother, I hate you. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, my mother wouldn't buy a toy for me or something really important, and I told her, that's it, I'm leaving. I'm so angry with you. And I made a little bag and I put it on a stick and I left the house. My mother used to tell this story, and I came back after 5 minutes. She said, "What is it?" I said, "Can you help me walk across the street?" So sometimes devotees, we become a little angry like that, and we say something we don't really mean. But just as a parent forgives a child, we should also forgive devotees. Just as Srila Prabhupada forgave so many devotees who did things we don't even want to talk about in this class, but Prabhupada loved them. And we should see that. They maybe have so many faults, but Prabhupada loved them. And if we go like that, we go in the opposite direction, then this poison will be driven out of Vrindavan. And that same poisonous personality may even be given an opportunity to render some service. So I'm sorry for going a little over time. These are some thoughts we had in this pastime today. Pancha Goda Prabhu, do we have time for some questions or discussion? If we don't, that's fine.
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes, boss says. We have 5 minutes if anybody has a reflection. Pancha Goda Prabhu?
You said something about Krishna going the other way in Kali Yuga and defeated him. I don't understand. When did he go the other way?
It's described in the next verse. In text 26, it says... Yeah. It says in the next verse, let's look here in the Sanskrit. Prabhupada says also in Krishna book, actually it doesn't directly say, does it? That Krishna was moving around Krishna. Krishna was circling around him. Yeah, and Prabhupada says going the other direction. Good point. Okay. Anybody else, any reflection, anything? It's not easy giving class in Vrindavan. My God, you don't know everybody here and you feel kind of like you're going to get in trouble or something, so please forgive me. Hold it straight out, maybe.
Very bottom.
Or if you speak really loud. Okay, got it. Thank you, Krishna.
The two pastimes, and
Oh, I didn't mention the other pastime, did I? The other is Govardhan Dharna Leela. When Krishna's holding up Govardhan Hill, all the bridge bhasis are also there for that pastime. And it's interesting to note that our acharyas have commented that Krishna was more angry with Lord Brahma than he was with Indra. That's a very interesting thing, because Lord Brahma, okay, he took the cowherd boys and the calves away just for one moment, brought them right back, and Indra basically tried to drop an atom bomb on Vrindavan. In fact, according to Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he says that Indra, when he told the Samvartic clouds to go and attack Vrindavan, he instructed them to kill everyone in Vrindavan, every plant, every tree, every animal, every cow, every person. He says, except for one person. Don't kill Nanda Maharaj. He said, you kill him last. I want him to watch everyone else die before he dies. That's what Jiva goes, it's really bad. But Krishna was more appreciative of what Indra did than what Brahma did. Why? Because Brahma brought about Vipralamba, brought about separation. But Indra indirectly brought about union, and everybody was coming together. So he liked it in that way. Is that okay? All right. Okay, so I think we should stop there. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam K. Srila Prabhupada K.